morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 314. 314. We'll sing hymn number 67. Number 67.
Arrayed the 86. We'll read the first 13 verses. Psalm 86. And hope all of you stay for this afternoon. Eat a little lunch. And next Sunday, Cody wasn't supposed to be here this Sunday, but now next Sunday he's going to be back. And I've asked him to preach next Sunday morning. And so I don't have to preach tonight, which that's a blessing, you know. Preach as long as I have. You take every chance you get to sit down. And so he's going to preach for us next Sunday morning. I'm looking forward to it. Sitting and listening to you preach the gospel to me. Told you I'm the easiest fellow you'll ever preach the gospel to. Now, Bruce was here the other night, and I tell you what, you know the easiest people to preach the gospel to is preachers. They really are. They really are, because you know why? They know exactly where you're at and what you're doing. And there's nothing like letting somebody else do it. Just nothing like it. All right, first 13 verses, Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. Bow down thine ear. He's talking to God like he's talking to somebody that was paying attention to him. Somebody that's personally. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me. And this is why he wants him to do it. For I am poor and I am needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy, talking about, and in margin says, for one whom thou favorest, or show grace to. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Our blessed Father, Lord, as David said, David prayed, O Lord, bow down your ear this morning and hear us as we cry. For all of us that know you know we're poor and know we're needy. And those that don't know they're poor and they're needy, Lord, they are, whether they know it or not. But Lord, bow down your ear and hear us. Oh, Lord, we trust you, call upon you, look to you. You're the one that, only one that can do anything for us. And as the sweet psalmist of Israel said, there's no God like unto thee. No God that can save. No God that can keep. No God that can give eternal life to. No God that can bring a dead soul to life. Call the dead from the grave. And so, Lord, we bless your holy name. You have saved us. And, Lord, you saved us from the lowest place we could possibly be. We were so low. And, Lord, we pray that you keep us low. Lord, keep us in the dust. Keep us, O Lord, down before you. Keep us low before you. Let us never exalt ourselves or lift ourselves up before you, not even before other men. And, O Lord, forgive us of everything that's unlike you. Meet with us here today. Come down in the presence of the Holy Ghost and be among us. And, Lord, cause the gospel to run well here today. And, Lord, save you people, save you sheep in this place. Please be merciful to our lost loved ones. Create a need in them. Be with us this afternoon. Enable me to speak this morning. We ask these things in our blessed Savior's name. Amen. Amen.
We'll all stand together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
So strong to hearts as pleasant as May. His name yields the richest perfume, and sweeter than music his voice. His presence disperses my gloom, and makes all within me rejoice. I should pray always lest I have something to wish or to fear. No more or less happy as I, my summer would last all the year. Content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure resign. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with the sense of his love, palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. Dear Lord, if indeed I am thine, if thou art my son and my song, say, why do I languish and pine? And why are my winters so long? Oh, drive these dark clouds from the sky, thy soul cheering presence restore. Or take me to thee up on high, and clouds are no more.
Amen.
Oh, what a beautiful name. All right, now let's look together here together in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And look here in verse 32 with me. Three verses. Mark 1:32, and at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Looky there, and it says in verse 32, they brought unto him all that were diseased. The only way these people could get to the Lord Jesus Christ was somebody to bring them. That's how sad shape they was in. What a sorry, sorry state, wretched state they were in, that they had to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is recorded also in Matthew and in Luke. But that's the way people are, whether they know it or not, that they have to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. We exhort people all the time to come to Christ, come to the Lord Jesus, come to Him. And yet, they can't come unless the Holy Spirit brings them. Somebody's got to bring them. Somebody's got to bring them. And these folks were in such, they were in such a sad, sad, wretched, wretched state that other people had to bring them, had to bring them. And they were gathered, it says here, they were gathered at the door. They were gathered at the door. There in verse 33, they were gathered at the door. What door? The door of Simon Peter's house. That's where he was. He had just raised Simon Peter's mother from a great fever. And they were gathered at the door of Peter's house. They found out where he was. They were in Capernaum. And they went to Simon Peter's house. And it says there in verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Oh, my. Everybody that was sick, when it talks about all the city, all those that were diseased. Ain't that what it says? Those that were diseased, sick of different diseases, possessed with devils. And he healed the sick. And we know what the word sick means. It means infirm, having a great infirmity. It means to be without strength. It means to be powerless. It means to be impotent. And when you look at this word diseased, it carries the idea of an evil sickness. Evil sickness. And you know, sin and sickness cannot be separated. I know that fundamentalism and legalism teaches and works religion teaches that if you lived right and you prayed enough, that if you got sick or anything was wrong with you, it's because you didn't have the faith or you had committed some kind of a sin that caused that to happen to you. But no, we was born under a curse. We'll live under a curse. And if Christ hadn't redeemed us from the curse, as long as we got sin dwelling in this mortal body is going to suffer. This mortal body is going to get sick. This mortal body is going to be broken. This mortal body is going to have things wrong with it. And I tell you what, as long as sin's in this body, we're going to have something wrong with this body. Now, that's just the way it is. And I tell you, sin and sickness, you try to separate sin and sickness. You can't do it. Separate sin from death, and you can't do it. We're going to die physically because of sin. Our bodies are failing because of sin. We have sickness because of sin. And I tell you, sin is a disease. Where did it start at? Started in the blood. Started in the blood. Through our father Adam. And then it talked about those that were demon-possessed, cast out many devils. They were demon-possessed. That means they're controlled by evil spirits. And it says here, you know, when it talks about demon-possessed, be controlled by evil spirits, that means they were disabled in thought. They didn't have the ability to think for themselves. It's like the Gadarene maniac. They can't think. And even that's why those that was demon-possessed, they had to bring them. They didn't have sense enough to come themselves. Their minds didn't work like anybody else's does. A demon-possessed man's mind not... You know, people say, well, I've never seen a demon-possessed mind. Go to Nashville and walk on the streets. Go into a homeless encampment. You'll find plenty of people demon-possessed. You walk, find people talking to themselves, walking down the street talking to themselves, pointing up in the air and things like that. There's still plenty of people demon-possessed. I've met a few of them. There's an old gal used to say all the time when she'd get upset with somebody and they'd act ugly, she said, he got a demon in him big as a barn. That's a big demon. But I tell you what, control, you know, not even able to function. What a wretched sight. You imagine all these people. They brought all these people to Christ. They brought the sick, powerless, impotent, without strength, no abilities. They brought the diseased, those that was so diseased and had so many different diseases. The demon possessed, they brought him unable to function. What a wretched sight. You got out, if you were standing outside that door and you looked at all them people and said, boy, that's a, what an awful looking group of people. They looked awful. This looked awful. But all these people that they brought to Christ, all these people that they brought unto him, they all had one thing in common. They all had a need. And they didn't have sense enough to know the need themselves. Somebody else had to bring them. Now that's pretty sad, ain't it? What a wretched sight. They did not have sense enough to know they had the need themselves. Somebody else had to bring them. Had to bring them. Oh, but they all had one thing in common. They needed Christ. They needed to be brought to Christ. Our Lord said this. They that are whole, they that are don't have any sickness at all, those that are well, they're whole in their mind, whole in their body, whole in their heart, whole in their thoughts. They that are whole, they don't need a doctor. They don't need a physician. They don't need to go to the doctor. If they are whole, I mean their mind's whole, their heart's whole, their eyes are, everything about them's right, they don't need a doctor. But everything about these people, nothing was right. They needed a doctor. They needed healing. They needed healing. It's like the church. I tell you, some people that don't need have a need of Christ. That won't never be brought to Christ. Our Lord Jesus said, he told the church at Laodicea, I know you. I know you. I know your works. I know your works. I know you're neither hot and I know you're neither cold. You're just... I would that you were hot, or I would that you were cold. Just either get in Christ or get out, one or the other. He said, hot or cold. He said, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, this is what they say, we're rich. Oh, we're so rich. We're so rich. We're increased with goods. And you know what they said? We have need of nothing. And you know what our Lord said about them? Don't you know? Don't you know this about yourself? That you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But they didn't know it. They didn't know it. Oh my. And Luke 9:11 says that they brought unto him all that had need of healing. And I tell you what, if anybody has, you know who comes to Christ? Who comes to Christ? I'm going to tell you who comes to Christ. I'm going to tell you who's coming to Christ today. I can tell you exactly who's coming to the Lord Jesus this morning, right here, right now. I can tell you who's coming. Those who have a need. That's who's coming to Christ right this minute. Huh? Oh, my. No one comes to Christ until they have a need. And when you have a need, you'll have that need until the day you leave this world. And sometimes that need gets so great, that you just absolutely cannot seem to get enough of Christ you need. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Christ our Lord is not near. Oh my. There's two things I know about myself. Two things I know about myself. And I know this, first of all, because what God says. Outside myself, I know this. God says that I'm a sinner. God says that I'm sick. God says that I have a disease. God says that about me. That I'm a sinner. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, from the inside of my heart to the outside of my skin. I'm a sinner. And I'll tell you something, the second thing I know about myself, that I know subjectively, I've experienced being a sinner. I know what it is to be a sinner. I've experienced it. I know what it is. I know what sin is because I've experienced being a sinner. Well, what do I mean about being a sinner? Well, sin is a transgression of the law. That's what the scripture says. Sin is a transgression of the law. What law is he talking about? Oh my. Thou shalt have no gods before me. No gods before me. None. Donald, I want you to have ever have a God before me. Huh? And no idols, no idolatry, no idols. Steve was telling me the other day that he went to do some work in a lady's house, and she is a Baptist, and she went to a Baptist church, and she had a Buddha in her house. He said, well, what is that Buddha doing here if you're a Baptist? She said, oh, I think it's pretty. That's an idol. Put a cross on your wall, that's an idol. Put a cross on your lapel, that's an idol. Have no idolatry. Oh my. He said, and I'll tell you something else. Sin's a trap. Don't you dare take my name in vain. Don't use the Lord's name any way, but in the high, when you speak the Lord's name, you speak of it in the highest possible way you can. You honor Him. You glorify Him. You praise Him. Don't you never, ever use His name in a vain way. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he said, oh, remember this, the Sabbath? The Sabbath? I tell you what, you keep that Sabbath and you keep it holy. You keep it holy unto me. Unto me. And he said, I tell you what, don't you ever kill anybody. Don't you ever kill anybody. Don't kill them with your thoughts. Don't kill them with your attitude. Don't kill them with your nature. Don't kill them with your words. Don't kill them. Huh? And whatever you do, don't you dare commit adultery. Don't you commit adultery now. And don't steal. Don't you dare take something that don't belong to you. Don't never do it. Don't never do it. And don't never lie. Don't never, ever say a falsehood. Don't never say a falsehood. And whatever you do, don't covet anything that anybody else has got. Don't covet anything. Paul said, you know how he became a sinner and how he knew he was a sinner? He said, thou shalt not covet. What do you think the Apostle Paul, before God saved him, coveted? He coveted praise. He covered his own righteousness. He covered being approved by the law. He covered being approved by his peers. That's why he said, I exceedingly zealous among many my fathers. Now, let me ask you. Have you broken any of those? I wonder how many times a day we do that. How many times a day? That's what sin is. It's a transgression of that law. You reckon you've stepped over that line? And if you ever step over it and you break one of them, you can't go back. You can't go back. You can't undo it. You can't mend it. You can't fix it. You can't undo it. Oh, my. I know one thing about me. I continually break all these commandments. So I have to confess, I'm a sinner. Not was a sinner, not will be a sinner, but right now. Right this moment. Huh? Well, what in the world can I do about it? What in the world can I do about it? Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Bring me to Christ. I've got no place else to go. I'm like these people. Where else am I going to go? Huh? Oh, I'm going to go to Christ. Why am I going to go to Christ? Because I need Him. I need Him. Oh, how I need Him. You know, when I start, a man don't become a sinner when he starts sinning. No, David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We was born in sin. And oh, listen, if God don't come, and somebody don't, and the Holy Spirit don't come and bring us to Christ, and I come to Christ because I need, oh, God, how I need him. Oh, Lord, how I need him. I mean, I need him. I need him. Oh, my. Oh, before you and before others, all of us can put on a good front. Oh, we can put on a good front. Oh, man, we can make ourselves look really, really good if we want to. I can put on a good front before you and you before me, but not before God. No, no, not before God. We're like Paul when he said, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. What are you talking about, no good thing? In my flesh, in this body, in my own nature, there's nothing at all whatsoever that good dwells in me any place, any time that you look at me. And God looks at nothing. No good thing. And me and Brad was talking about this Wednesday night. People say, well, I made a mistake. No. We are failures. We fail. Mistakes can be corrected. You know, and I'll be writing out my notes, and I've got this stuff in a bottle. I shake it up, and I go in there, and I white it out. And I wait for it to dry, and then I can go over it again. But boy, we don't make mistakes. We fail. Have we failed? How often have we failed? Failed God. Failed in the grace of God. Didn't act like gracious people. Didn't act like forgiving people. Didn't act like loving people. Didn't act like kind people. Didn't act like generous people. Is those mistakes? Oh, my. And I tell you, we're just like these people that were brought to Him. We're just as sick. We're just diseased. Just as impotent, just as helpless they are. Oh, how we need Christ. Oh, you know, look with me over here in Mark chapter 5. Look in Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. Oh, it's like this woman with the issue of blood. Talk about people coming to Christ, having a need of Christ. He said they brought them unto him all that were diseased. And you know, Jesus had just went in and saved that Jairus' daughter, raised her up. In verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. A big crowd was just pressing on him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and listen to this, and had suffered many things of physicians, many physicians. Doctors took her money and glad to take it. Oh, how much you going to charge me for this visit? How much you got? Well, ain't this all I got left? Well, I'll take it. She went to these doctors till they took every dime they could take away from her. And look what she spent all that she had. Them old doctors just kept taking and taking. Every time she went in, give me some more. And you know what? It says that she spent all she had, and them doctors never done a thing for her. Nothing was better. But she got worse. She got worse. Got worse. And listen to this now. And when she heard of Jesus, where'd she hear of him at? It don't make any difference as long as she heard. I don't care who told her. She heard. That's all that matters. She heard. And listen to this. And came in the press behind him. She pushed her way through that crowd. and pressed in behind him, and listen to this, and touched his garment, just his garment. And she said, oh, she had such an awful need. Now, she had been sick 12 years. 12 years. That's a long time to be sick. That's a long time to be ill. And look what she said. If I can just touch his clothes, I don't have to touch him, just his clothes. And I do know this. I know this about him. If I can just touch him, I'll be whole. I'll be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body, she felt it, that she was healed of that plague. Now listen to what happens now. And our Lord immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Said in another place, who touched me? Somebody touched me. Who touched me? He said. I tell you what, if you ever touch him, you'll know it and he'll know it. That's what's wonderful about it. We both will know it. And look what he said. And his disciples said unto him, Lord, thou see the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about, and listen to this now, to see her. He knew her. To see her. He turned around to see her that had done this thing. He knew exactly who it was. He knew when she turned around to see her. Oh, and oh my. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. And listen to this. She told him all the truth. She told him everything that happened to her. She said, Lord, I've been so sick for 12 years. And I heard about you. And I said, Lord, if I could, I know that if I could just touch your garments, I'd be healed. And Lord, I am. She told him all the truth. I tell you, that's what we'll do. Tell him all the truth. So like Barnabas, we're talking about having people coming to Christ. And then there's Bartimaeus. Everybody knows about Bartimaeus. He's a poor man. He was a beggar. A beggar. Sitting by the side of the road begging. Sorry, sorry begging man. Clothes was old. Probably stunk. And he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know what the scripture said? Jesus stood still. You cry out for mercy, and Jesus stood still. That cry of mercy stopped him. The cry of a sinner crying for mercy stopped him. And that, you know what the next thing he said? Commanded him, bring him over here. Bring him to me. They went over and got him by the hand. He's blind. They had to take him by the hand. They brought him to Christ. He said, what do you want? That I might be able to see. That's all I want. But the fact of what I'm telling you is that only people that call on Christ, only people come to Christ, and that Bartimaeus had to be brought to. Had to be brought. And the leper, three of them come down from the mountainside and said, Lord, and they came down and worshiped him. And said, Lord, if you will, if it's your will, if it's in your will, if it could possibly be your will, would you cleanse me? For you can make me clean. Would you? And you know what our Lord said? I will. But see, every one of these people had something wrong with them. That's people's problems today. They ain't got nothing wrong with them. They ain't got nothing wrong with them. Oh, my. All these people had a need. And they went to the only one who could meet that need. I need him. Do you need him? I need him to be my Savior. To be my Savior right now. To be my Savior. To be my Savior. In Luke's gospel, it said he laid hands on them. He laid hands on them. Luke chapter 4 said he laid hands on them and healed them. And you know where the first time it mentions on of laying on of hands? In Leviticus. The first mention of laying on of hands was in Leviticus. And you know when it was? On the Day of Atonement. When the lad, you know, they brought two goats. And the priest laid his hand on one of the goats. And when they lay the hands on that, that's the what that means is you're transferring the sins of Israel onto the head of that goat. Now that goat there is going to die. He's going to die. They're going to slit his throat and shed his blood and put him on the altar. And then the high priest is going to bring another goat, and he's called the scapegoat, and he puts his hands on him, and he confesses and transfers all the sin of Israel onto the head of that goat. And then a fit man takes that goat and walks off into the wilderness with that goat. And what he does is he's telling all those, one's died for him, and another's going to carry the sins away where they won't be seen. And so a fit man carries that goat way, way out into the wilderness, and they keep going away and away and away and away until nobody can see him anymore. And after a while, he turns around and comes back, and he ain't got that goat with him. Sins are gone by the sacrifice, and sins are gone off into the depths where nobody can see him. And you know the only one. When I, Lord, laid hands on those sinners and laid hands on those people, you know what happened? Sin was transferred. Transferred to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, had no sin, never committed any sin. And I tell you what, all our sins were just transferred to Christ. Oh my. And this is the glory of the gospel. You see, God is just. My sin cannot just go away. No, no. The glory of the gospel is that God took my sin, placed him on the body of his blessed, blessed Holy Son. And God said, the scripture said he was delivered. God said, you got to have something done with your sin. Something's got to be done with your sin. And so God said, here, I'll give my son up. He'll deliver him up. Here, take my son. Take him. What he wants to do with him. Put your sin on him. Lay them all on him. Bring them all to him. And he is delivered for our offenses. All our sin, all our offenses was laid on him. But then the scripture said, but he was raised again. What for? For our justification. Where's our sins go? With our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the fit man that carried him away. He is the one that put him away by the sacrifice of himself. And they'll never be found again. God said, I won't even remember him against them. Oh, my. Oh, what a gospel we have. I want you to look with me over here in Matthew chapter 8. Oh, what a gospel we have. What a gospel we have. Look here in Matthew 8:16. Look what it says. In verse 16. And when the evening was come, They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit, listen to this, with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, said, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. But you see here, he said, he cast out devils with his word. Huh? And look what it says there in the last part of that verse, and healed all that were sick. What does that mean? That means that our Lord is successful. That means our Lord cannot fail. Oh, the power of his word. He said, listen, send his word. Oh, the power of it. Healed all that were sick. Our Lord, his atonement, his death, his sacrifice, his word is successful. I mean, our Lord is not a failure. Isaiah said this, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Oh my. If he died for all people that were already in hell or will go to hell, then he's not successful. But if he died for anybody's sin, Noah was the sixth from Adam. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, let me tell you something. His scripture tells this, this man, by the sacrifice of himself, put away sin once and for all. And he hath perfected. Did you hear what I just said? He hath perfected. He hath perfected. Who? Them he sanctified. Boy. Now, in Christ, when you look at, when God looks at me, bless his holy name, when God looks at me, he sees nothing but perfection. So I try my best not to look at myself and look to Christ and believe, you know, I'm not successful all the time, but I thank God that Christ is successful. Yeah, it's not my success, it's his success. It's his success. Oh my. And in preaching the gospel, preaching who the Lord Jesus Christ is, they brought him unto him. Who he is. He's God come down in the presence of his blessed Son. Oh, and then what he did, he lived a life we could not live. He died a death we could not die. He put away sin we could not put away. He fulfilled that law that we break continually. He fulfilled it. He bore its curse. And all preaching the cross of Christ. You see, it's not the cross itself. It was who was on the cross. Yeah. Yeah. You know, a fella called me the other day, and they got a bunch of crosses in the place where he preaches. They got crosses. I mean, man, they got crosses like you wouldn't believe. And he called me and said, I told him, I said, man, you have to deal with them crosses. You have to deal with them. I said, the only way you can do that is preach what the cross of Christ really is. When Paul said, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't talking about glorying in a tree or glorying in at a wooden cross. He was talking about glorying in who was on that cross, what was accomplished on that cross, the salvation on that cross, and who it was on that cross. And I've said this so many times before, it's not what happened on the cross, it was who was on that cross. Not how much blood shedding it was whose blood was shed. It's not how long he is on the cross, but it's who is on the cross. And the cross has something to do, not with this a wooden cross, but what was accomplished at the cross. Amen. And when Christ was on a cross, God made his soul an offering for sin. God made his soul, and Christ poured out his soul unto death. And when he cried out and said, "It is finished," that means, beloved, that he finished everything God gave him to do. And to prove it, that God gave him everything to do and he finished it all, Christ on the third morning raised from the dead. And like he said, he moved the stone himself and come out of that grave. And he said, "Listen, I'm here. I've got all power. And everything I did while I was on this earth, I did for the glory of God and for the good of my elect." And I'm telling you what, that's what we're talking about. When we preach the gospel, preach the cross, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. And I tell you what, that gospel, it meets the needs of a heart, don't it? Does it meet the need of your heart? Does it meet the need of your soul? Oh my. And I'm going to close with a couple of statements. And if you ain't heard anything else I say, hear this. How you hear the gospel will be according to your need. How you hear the gospel will be according to your need. Huh? Theology, Calvinism, they won't meet your need. But the gospel, Christ, will meet your need. Huh? How you hear the doctrine of God's grace, how you hear the doctrine of God's grace will be according to your need. How much grace do you need? When do you need it? How often do you need it? Huh? Let me tell you, boy, you need faith, he's got it. You need forgiveness, he does it. You need life, it's in him. Do you need him? Do you need him? Lord, bring us to Christ. And once, let me tell you, everybody that come to him, they leave whole. They leave whole. What a blessed gospel. Our blessed, 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 blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. How glorious, how blessed, how precious is your gospel. Oh, nothing like it in this world. Nothing meets the needs of our hearts and our souls like the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that you brought me to Christ one day, that you brought me sick and he made me well, brought me diseased and he healed it. Oh, deemed controlled by the devil, and Lord, you set me free. Oh, bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. God caused this gospel to find a lodging in hearts this day. Cause this glorious Savior to be real in the hearts and minds of those gathered out here today. Lord, please cause that gospel seed to bring forth fruit in hearts and lives here. Oh God, if I had the ability to bring them, I'd bring them, but I don't. But oh Holy Spirit, oh Holy Ghost, you got the power to bring sinners to Christ. And I pray in your sovereign mercy you'll bring sinners to Christ. We ask these things in his blessed name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that, "Come You Sinners." Come You Sinners. I'll see if I can find it in here. "Come You Sinners." It's in here. How much? 26. 26. Let's stand together and sing this. And when they get ready for us to come and eat, they said there's stuff out there you could probably snack on if you wanted to. But let's stand together and sing this. And you know, if the Lord's done something for you, if the Lord's done something for you, I would sure love to hear it. I know the rest of the congregation would, but if you're not one of those people that can say it out publicly, you come to me privately. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sure. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and prayer. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome. It's free bounty, glorify. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. All right, I reckon when they open the door, you can go back there. Lord willing, I'll see you Wednesday.